He's probably not going to tell you this, but I will tell you that this man was arrested and beaten and jailed for his stand for the gospel. He's a faithful, faithful servant.
Thank you,
brother.
Good morning. Thank you very much to give me opportunity to share about this topic, advancing the kingdom while under political oppression. This topic for me and for Mark Lenn is a kind of a part of our life, is a reality of every day. We are living in the country where the power is very, very oppressive. And where the oppression reigns, there is injustice. And the Bible says it in this way: righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace. In other versions, they say is a shame to any people. If there is anything that the Congolese people are eager for today, it is the justice. For this country today lives in disgrace, in shame, because of the oppression and the injustice that reigns in it. And the Bible says, when the righteous multiply, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Macklin could correct me. I don't know if there is another country on the earth where the people are groaning as they do in my country, in the Congo. The country where there is so much injustice, so much fraud, corruption, mismanagement of the public fund, and all this in a very impunity and recklessness. And this is the consequence of a political system oppressive. In the Congo, the rich people, those who have made money by stealing from the government money, expose with arrogance their wealth by building big houses across the city without any shy or hide, which is really an attitude of provocation to the people. At the limit, just the insult to the people, impoverished. And despite its enormous natural resources, the Congo has an unemployment rate of more than 90%. People live, they survive by striving to do anything, small trade, smuggling, odd jobs, and even begging, stealing. And also people, most of the people live by what we call African solidarity, which means when an individual has an income or a job, he supports not only his own family, but also his extended family, his in-law family, his relative and friend, and he shares his meager resources with them. In Congo, the areas that offer again some job are brewery and the cellular business, telecommunication. And for this moment, the most popular, easy making quick money business in the Congo are first churches, yes, churches. Many churches that spread all around the country are planted by charlatan pastors. And for one purpose, making money. They sell prophecies, and they call that prophetic consultation. They sell miraculous healing, all kind of solution to the problem. They promise prosperity, success, marriage to the single girl or woman. That's one the business out of this situation of poverty. However, there has been an amazing movement of people coming to faith in Christ by millions. Congo is one of the biggest Christian countries in Africa. And the other business is easy, making quick money, is private school. And those schools need to be in the city and the neighborhood where people are rich. And also the funeral space for home. In Kinshasa and in Congo in general, the death rate is just frightening because the access to health care is very expensive to the people. And there are more funeral cars than ambulances in the city of Kinshasa. And even funeral expenses are very, very expensive. And the justice in Congo is not the same for the rich and for the poor. You are right or wrong according to the money you have given to the judge. Justice is corrupted. The public service is not better. You can't benefit from a public service without bribe. You must necessarily bribe to be served. State and government staff and personnel are poorly paid and irregular. Policemen the same, and they fleece the population for to live. Access to health care is only for those who are able to pay the money up front, no cash, no care. And in the educational system, many children are out of school. More than 60% of children are not going to school, because parents could not afford tuition fees. And the quality of the education itself is very poor, from the primary school to the university. Teachers are poorly paid by the state, who is the employer. And often they are not paid at all. And all the expenses of schooling children are on the parents' shoulders, those who can pay. Kinshasa is a overcrowded city. Didi. It doesn't have an organized collection, garbage collection service. The roads are very bad. Drive through Kinshasa is just a nightmare because of the continuous traffic jam caused by the driver's indiscipline, bad roads, no traffic rules, no traffic sign. I remember what Barry said to me when I was driving them through Kinshasa. He said to me, "Leon, you know what ex nihilo means?" I said, "Yes." Thank you. I say yes. And he say, "That's how you are driving here in Kinshasa." Oddly, the Kinshasa people face those situations with resignation, and even more with good humor and philosophy. Really, which is very different from people from other countries, which made somebody to make this comment and say, "Really, people in Kinshasa, Congolese people, are a rare animal species. That species in the way of extinction. How they could accept this?" And in this context of oppression, corruption, pollution, what message, what gospel should we preach to the people of God, and how should we preach it? At the beginning of his ministry, the Lord Jesus defined what will be his mission by setting the goal of his ministry. He showed us what should be the message of the church today: to heal those who are brokenhearted, to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim the freedom for the prisoner, and to blend the recovery of sight, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, the Church of the Congo or elsewhere should seek first the justice and the kingdom of heaven. How to pursue justice and the kingdom of heaven in such context, when people live under oppression, under exploitation, in poverty and misery. How to pursue the kingdom of God when people are hungry and thirsty, when people are not able to feed their children, they are not able to send them to school, when people are not able to provide for them health care when they are sick. How can we tell to these men and women that God loves them when they face so much misery? Is there not a gap between the message of the gospel of Christ and the reality? How to reconcile this message and the reality on the ground? And here I want to quote Berry in his publication entitled The Gospel of the Kingdom and Social Justice. He just asked the same question, but in this way. What is the Christian responsibility in the exercise of social justice? Is social justice really the center of justice and righteousness? Is it a sin not to engage in social justice? Is it a sin redeemed by the death of Jesus? Is God our Father expecting from us a commitment to social justice that is an expression of His holiness? That's the question Barry asked. And he pursued this. The answer to all these questions is central to the proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus traveled all over Galilee, teaching in synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing all sickness and infirmity among the people. And Mary continued. The good news of the kingdom is the foundation the churches need to live the gospel justice, including the commitment to social justice. And I still quote Berry, when we look to the scripture to define what justice and righteousness is, we find that the call clear that God addresses as his people is to be actively involved in that we call social justice. The commitment to work for what God has revealed to us as just and good in our individual life and in the society. These principles, says Berry, we saw it in Abraham's life, the father of all believers. And he concludes, when God called Abraham to become the patriarch of a new nation, he promised to make him a blessing for all nations. As the offspring of Abraham, the people of Israel had to bring this promise to fulfillment by being the family nation to which Christ was to be born, and by actually living and practicing justice in the world and on behalf of his own children and the nation. As a true son of God, Israel should have a special attention for orphans, widows, immigrants, and the poor. Listen to the commandment of God and his willingness to see his people doing justice to the most vulnerable. Here is the negative commandment, do not oppress, and positive commandment, do good. That's very good. All that is said above about social justice shows us enough that the gospel we have to preach must be holistic, which means it has to take care of the need of people in the different components, body, soul, and spirit. If the church today doesn't take care of this different area of need, it misses its evangelical and prophetic mission. The Lord says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And James 2 said this, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deed? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing for his physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In Congo, our church is a city they call Mikondo. Mikondo is one of the poorest neighborhoods in Kinshasa. That's where the Lord led us to plant our church, New City Fellowship Kinshasa. Since our establishment, the Lord is at work. On July 24th last year, we celebrated our first year of existence. The church is growing. We had our first baptism service on Saturday, December 23, and about 20 people gave their life to the Lord Jesus. The attendance in our Sunday's worship service is around 200 to 220 people, adults and children together. Our weekly tithe and offering is between $15 and $25 a week. On the other hand, we are crumbling under people's need and requests for all kinds of assistance. And often, as far as we can, we help with that God put in our hand. We do not complain about it. We only say that God is good. He knows why he wanted us there and not elsewhere. Therefore, he will always provide. He knows our need. Our mission going to Congo, of course, is to bring the good news of the kingdom in order to bring people out of darkness to light, out of ignorance to renewing the mind, out of lie to truth, out of precarity to dignity. According to the word of the Lord, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Our goal is to make disciples of different tribes and nations within the community. According to the rule of the kingdom, the reign of the righteousness of God that comes by faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, establishing a church plant that will in turn help teach additional pastors and church planters to develop and plant other like-minded churches. Our vision is to implant a church and a training center that reflects the kingdom gospel value of reconciliation and justice in the context of Christ-centered, grace-driven preaching and training. Train pastors in a more grace and kingdom-centered theology and help them to increase biblical knowledge and theological development through seminars and the Bible Institute with the collaboration of Kingdom Restoration Society and First Millennium. In the same perspective, we have initiated some youth job training program under the denomination of Nehemiah Center, and the following program are already at work, sewing classes, computer classes, aesthetic and decoration. All the program requiring small budget and less space are waiting for funding, such as training of solar energy technician, culinary art and catering. And our goal is to train young people in order they would help themselves and become self-sufficient. We have initiated a micro-business development project with low-interest loan in order to help a member in their small business that they may improve their living condition and get out of the poverty. And we have a clinic which is helping our church's member, the orphans, and people in the community. We are funding a feeding program in a school, Lamb of God, and provide meals to students. All these programs and projects are used as a tool to reach out people by proclaiming the gospel. And many people, they are touched and they confess that God is good. Glory be to his name. The Sephora site in Mikondo, where we have established NCF Kinshasa, is a protected concession from 2 to 3 hectares. It is located just 5 miles from the international airport, Njili. And this concession have several existing structures, including school building, a medical clinic, housing, and space for worship. Our desire is to make this place a church community for worship, but also a hub of kingdom ministry. We have in the project the start of a pastoral training center and the biblical institute, staffed by local pastors, as well as pastor and teacher connected with the Kingdom Restoration Society, who will help train pastors, will implant all the church. This site, Sephora, is therefore strategic for us, and we pray that the Lord will give it to us for the future development of all these activities. We are groaning for the redemption of and the restoration of Congo to become a nation that is more impacted by the presence of God, where righteousness and justice flourish more freely. And there are more opportunities. You can get involved. Consider coming one day on field to visit us in Congo. Thank you.
Okay, so just a couple of things of encouragement to you. One is to listen to what's going on and realize that these brothers and multiple others, these are just a small example of Christians in extremely harsh circumstances, are not stopped in their tracks. They are pursuing the kingdom of God, and the Lord is blessing. And they do that, and I will tell you on a practical level, they have to honor their king. You can go into almost any establishment you want, and there's a picture of the president. That's part of honoring the king over there. His picture is plastered everywhere. The opposition is so great, but it has not stopped them. So here's, and there's a freedom in honoring the king and fearing God. When you don't do that, Satan can get you so frustrated by the evil opposition that you are more focused on that than you are on the promise of God. And so I have some questions for you. We're combining both of these in questions at the table. So here's what I want you to, a couple questions to write down for you to discuss. Number one, do you honor your political leaders? The president, your senators, your congressmen, your mayor, your local leaders. Do you have a heart attitude that honors them? Doesn't mean you agree with them. Doesn't mean you like them. Doesn't mean you like what they do. But do you still honor them before God? Do you? I'm just asking you that question, and be honest. Secondly, do you believe that small deeds of kindness and compassion are the major means of God defeating the darkness? Because I'm convinced that a lot of us are hamstrung by Satan's lies that we have to have, there's massive evil, and therefore we must have a massive plan and a massive answer that is going to fix it all. God's way of fixing it all and advancing his kingdom is in those things that the world thinks are insignificant. Loving that widow, taking care of that orphan, reaching out to that immigrant. And it's not that we don't want to influence policies and have our government be more righteous. We do. It's how do we get there? Do you believe small acts of kindness and love are the major means of God advancing the kingdom? Third question. Are you defeated or hopeless in your heart when you think about the power of the injustice in the culture? Are you defeated or hopeless in heart when you think about the power of the injustice in the culture? Or are you more confident that God will win the day? I just want you to be honest about that. And I can promise you, for myself, it depends on the day. And it depends on the moment, and it depends on the circumstance that I've just come out of. But you got to know how to reorient your heart in these things. So just take a few minutes around your table, talk about these things, and please be so encouraged. Do not despise what the Lord is doing through you already, because God's intention is only to develop it, increase it, expand it, bless it all the more. So have some discussion.